The script's a little different today, so I was checking to see if I'm supposed to preach right now or not. If you're look in your Bible, we're in the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 15, beginning with verse 20. Then the prophet Miriam, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out with her with tambourines and with dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea." You know, throughout the Bible, there are numerous people who made a difference. And one favorite style of sermons or preaching I love to do is biographical. I learn more about, my faith grows a lot when I study personalities in the Bible, whether it's in Genesis all the way to the end. We have to remember that God uses people for various things and approaches or whatever it is, the mission of God. And so we have to keep that in mind, that God still uses people, even though we don't get our names in the Bible. But there are people who have made a difference, as I said, whether it was in the Bible or out of the Bible. And Miriam, the sister of Moses, and by the way, Aaron, too, is one of the best examples. You don't hear much about Miriam. She's wedged in the book of Exodus and a little bit further over in Numbers. But other than that, and very little is mentioned of her in the Bible. But God chooses people, and you must remember this. God chooses people because they are not brilliant. They are not geniuses, wealthy, nor influential. God selects people who are willing and obedient to serve in whatever capacity God desires for their task to be. The story goes about Peter Marshall, the renowned Presbyterian minister who was at the National Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C. They were having a work day. And everybody was, all the session was there and everybody. And they were discussing on who was going to clean and paint the bathrooms. And they got into it. All of a sudden, they saw Peter Marshall with a paintbrush and a mop. And they said, "Where are you going, Reverend?" He said, "I'm going to the restroom. I'm going to do some painting." And so nothing was too belittling for him. Nothing should be too belittling for us to do. Sometimes we may get more publicity, but most of the time, we're in the backdrop of things. To follow God does not require super sainthood or being so holier than thou that we can walk on water. God may choose anyone, but mostly God selects those people who are available to serve in any capacity. For younger people, your potential is unlimited in how God can use you. For the more mature crowd, your potential is unlimited in how God can use you. Did you see any job description differences there? Not at all. It stays the same whether you're 3 years old or 300 years old. God can use anyone. It kind of borderlines the first sermon I preached here, but we're going to go into a little detail here about about Miriam in just a moment. The requirements and stipulations are the same. And God has maintained these through the centuries. Just be obedient and open toward God. God will take care of the rest. You know, remember the story in the early part of the book of Exodus when Moses was a newborn baby and Pharaoh was killing all the male babies under the age of two in Egypt? Well, it's amazing to compare the parallel of Pharaoh in Egypt and later Herod in Judea around the birth of Christ in plotting to eliminate all the male infants who could be a threat to their rule. Something had to be done, and Moses' mother, whose name was Jochebed, wasn't about to permit him to die at the whim of a maniacal potentate. Jochebed must have been very intelligent and clever in devising the construction of a floating basket to place her baby inside of it. Now, that took a lot of nerve to put a baby in a basket on a river. The basket was placed in the Nile River. You know, but my first thought in preparing this sermon was, you know, crocodiles dwell there too in the Nile River. But God's divine protection was safeguarding the baby Moses. And however, we can see how it continued with when Pharaoh's daughter came to the river to bathe, and it certainly must have been crocodile-free in that section. But now we see the introduction of Sister Miriam on the scene. Obviously, Jochebed had stationed her daughter Miriam among the canebrakes, which made good cover to hide, in order to ensure the basket was kept safe. Evidently, her mother knew the bathing habits of Pharaoh's daughter and had timed the launch of the floating basket to the arrival of Pharaoh's daughter and offspring. When she discovered the basket and had one of the attendants fetch it for her, it was then that Jochebed's plan succeeded. You know, something also overlooked here, the Pharaoh's daughter must have been a very compassionate person because she immediately fell in love with the baby Moses. In fact, it says in later on, I mean, in Bible scholars, that later on, she was the one named him Moses. And his actual official Egyptian name was Moses Tep, T-E-P. That was a very royal Egyptian surname. And so she loved Moses sincerely. And it was then that Miriam ran out of those canebrakes and said there was a wet nurse available who would take care of the baby. And of course, Pharaoh's daughter said, go get her. And it turned out to be Jochebed, the mother of Moses. So not only was Jochebed able to care for her son, she was paid, and paid very well, to do so as well. So with God's blessing, it was Miriam who was responsible for setting this event into motion. But her story doesn't end there at the Nile River. The next time Miriam appears, years later, during the start of the Exodus out of Egypt, she was no longer a girl. The Israelites had been freed from their slavery and departed very quickly to get out of there because it was a very hostile land. The Bible said that Pharaoh regretted freeing them, the children of Israel, because they had been an economic asset to Egypt that sustained its growth. Well, of course, they had free labor. Why not? But he had second thoughts. I shouldn't have let them go. But foolishly, Pharaoh did something. He committed the entire Egyptian armed forces to pursuing the children of Israel. Well, if you've read the story too, you know what eventually did take place. And enclosed by the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh's army behind them, it didn't look very promising for the Hebrew children, did it? It certainly didn't. But God was standing by them the entire time. And I want to reiterate something here. I don't know what each of you are going through at this moment. You may be having a great life. But then some of us may have some troubles. You don't know. But remember this. God never abandons us. God never leaves us. Now, we may pull back from God, but God never pulls back from us. Keep that in mind as an assurance and a little bit of encouragement for you. If you've gone through some problems, God will stand by us like God stood by the children of Israel. God did not abandon them there at the Red Sea. But like I said, it didn't look very promising. It was a lot of frightful Israelites there. But, you know, God performed the first miracle by parting of the Red Sea as the escape route for Moses and his people. As soon as the Hebrews had crossed to the banks of the Sinai Peninsula, God closed the walls of the sea, and the entire Egyptian army perished in those waters. Now, Bible scholars will debate on the Red Sea. Was it the Red Sea? Was it the Sea of Reeds? Was it whatever it was it a swampland? But I'm going to tell you something about this miracle. If it wasn't the Red Sea, I think there was even a bigger miracle. If God could drown an Egyptian army in 6 inches of water, that does make a miracle, doesn't it? So we see here something happened. Now, it's sad that people died in that. But God saved those children of Israel from being destroyed. And so celebrations of deliverance and freedom were proclaimed with Moses leading the parade. There was jubilation. They had, after 430 years of slavery, they were free. They were at liberty. And they were Egypt was behind them. But then something very unusual happened. After Moses' parade and singing and all that, something very unusual specter arose, which focused upon Sister Miriam again. Her influence hadn't gone unheeded by God, and she led the Israelite women into a singing and dancing jubilation. Now, I'm going to say this, and again, I say Bible scholars have never recognized this, but I think this was a second miracle, because though it's not even titled or given credit, Miriam, by my calculations, would have been a minimum age of 90. With her tambourine, she began a dance, a review, and also, if the statistics are probably tabulated, there must have been at least 2 million women involved in this jamboree on the banks of the Red Sea. It was indeed a sight to behold. Now listen, 90 years old, singing, dancing. I mean, you know, Las Vegas show, girl? I don't think so. No. So she had the women of Israel following her. And there they were, tambourines. Next year, Glory, bring your tambourine. But just imagine that. It wasn't the same, because most of us, even those of us who are over 30, sometimes we have problems getting out of bed, let alone dancing, you know, like that. So it's amazing to see this as something that Miriam did because of her love for God. And it goes to show that God does not believe in age discrimination, and Miriam is the prime example of it. Thinking about retiring from serving God? Well, don't. God may have plans which could surpass all the joys and blessings that have already been a part of your life. We all remember Noah Benjamin Franklin. You know, actually, his glorious days did not get started after he was 70. So don't throw the towel in yet, even those of you who are 28 years old. Because God may have some fabulous things for you ahead. We don't know what they can be, but God is a God of surprises, isn't he? So remember that. God can work things out much better than we can ever do. And in my life, I've been surprised at the directions a lot of times in my ministry has taken me. So leave the details to God and permit God to guide you always. It is something you will never regret. And Miriam certainly did not regret it. Let us pray. O living God, today we honor your servant, Gloria Warren, whose life and service to this congregation has brought joy to those whom she has touched through music and worship. Today we dedicate this music in honor of Gloria's 60-plus years of service to the music ministry of McLeod Memorial Presbyterian. May it be a blessing to those who sing and those who hear. Amen.